have found Spartan Radio, a production of the Rad Racing Network.
Welcome to Spartan Nation, and thanks for tuning in to Spartan Radio, show number 24, recorded December 13th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live here in Omaha, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes and links, done, of course, by our own Kerry Adams, and posted over at radracing.org. On Spartan Radio, we look at the latest races, both past and present, cover your stories and tweeted questions, talk about nutrition for racing, basically anything and everything Spartan. You can join us each Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 Eastern for the live show, or subscribe to all the shows that we do automatically for your iPod, iPad, or iPhone, and any Android tablet or phone over at radracing.org. If you are with us live, join us over at Facebook right now. I've been doing some live, although tonight I don't think I'm going to get a chance to do the live blogging on Facebook, but lots of good comments. Just search for Spartan Race on Facebook. All right, we got a great show tonight, and we got some famous folks with us, but I do want to take a second and introduce Kerry Adams. Of course, Kerry is behind everything that we do here at Spartan Radio.
That may be good. That may be horrible. That just maybe it's just terrible.
Could be horrific. Kerry, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the first weekend. I haven't traveled, so I'm not jet lagged.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually got a week off, right, to kind of be home and not go out and do something.
Yeah, but next weekend, you guys, I talk about this a lot. I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan. My mom's whole family's from Green Bay, and we're going to the game in Kansas City. So I'll be out of town again this weekend, but that's for non-racing purposes.
Awesome. Yeah, just for pleasure.
Yeah, well, Kerry, if Aaron Rodgers and I are going to get married, he that has to happen.
You got to meet him eventually, right?
If you're going to he's not aware of the plan, so we've got to alert him to the plan. So I'm coming for you, Aaron Rodgers.
Very good. Well, Kerry, you know I've got a kind of multitasking tonight, so I'm gonna turn the show over to you. I'm gonna watch for Todd, and I'll be back shortly.
Awesome. No, that's awesome. So we have a great show tonight. I want to give a couple updates really quick before we introduce our two guests that we have up first. The first thing is that we are doing a holiday special here at Spartan Race, because when you have someone in your life and you don't know what to get them for the holidays, the gift of health with a side of mud and Spartan glory at a discounted holiday price is always an excellent option. It's a perfect time of year to rip someone off their couch and change their life. And so we're offering that as an option. So in the show notes, I'm going to give you guys a link. It's a great special. There are a few restrictions in terms of the races because we switched registration companies. Long story, but it's still a very cool deal. We also have a holiday special on our merchandise. So if you go to our merchandise site and you type in SR10 at checkout, you get 10% off of your entire order. So very cool. We do want to see some Spartan family pictures with Spartan gear. I've also gotten several pictures from folks of their Christmas trees adorned with Spartan medals. Hobie, I'm sure at your house there are plentiful medals to go around. So that's an idea in case you guys are wondering how to decorate your house for the holidays. Spartan medals make a good option. So definitely check that out. And we have a lot of really big announcements coming out about the 2012 season that will be coming out over the course of the next couple weeks. So definitely stay tuned for that. We actually have a big one coming out in the next about 48 hours. So keep your eyes on our Facebook wall. There's going to be some big stuff coming out and also things in 2012. We actually have a fly-in summit of all of Spartan Race. Our entire company is coming together at our HQ in Vermont the first part of January, which we've never done before, and we're really excited about it. So we're all going to fly out there and spend 3 days plotting exclusively for the torment of 2012 of all of our athletes. And so really cool stuff's going to come out of that. And we're going to have some pictures and some behind the scenes of, you know, what all of us do when we get together and we don't have a race to put on. We just get a plan for the future. So lots of cool stuff coming out there. So tonight on the show, we have two very special guests. And before I introduce them, I just want to say that a couple of videos have come out recently. The first one is our World Championship heat that was in Texas in Glen Rose, which the surprise is already out there. Hobie Call and Irene Call are on the show tonight as guests. And it really details the events of the Glen Rose World Championship heat, which was epic. I was there. It was amazing to watch. It was a lot of fun. And Hobie also wrote a reflection on his year that we posted in our blog that got some really amazing feedback. And so these will all be links that we're going to keep in the show notes. You guys can go check it out. He also released his video, How to Train. I've heard some really great things. I actually did one of your WODs the other day. I'll tell you, the gym that the 35 minutes where you do lunges across the floor, run back, do some Turkish get-ups. Loved it. It was awesome. So definitely dug it. And then also there was a video that came out today, and Jim and I were frantically trying to figure out how to play it live, but we're going to put it in the show notes. You guys are going to see it. It's a very inspirational video that spans our race season in 2011. And there's a lot of footage of Hobie. It's a really beautiful video. There's scenes from the death race. I literally cried when I saw it, and I'm not a crier. Like, it just, it's an absolutely wonderful video. So, I'll make sure that gets shared, and please share with people, so that they really can kind of get a feeling for and understand what it is that we do and why we do it. And also exposes you to an extraordinary year that Hobie had, and all of that. So with that long-winded introduction, I will now introduce our two guests that we're going to have up top, and that is Hobie and Irene Call. Welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you guys with us tonight.
Thanks. Thank you.
And for those of you those of you that have been living under a rock that don't know this, Hobie did in fact take the top spot at our Glen Rose with the $10,000, the big cool checks from Happy Gilmore that he shoves in the back of his car. We had those through the big checks, and Irene took third in the cash prize heat for women, and what a remarkable showing! So I imagine that the genetics, your children are going to be like super athletes. So that's very cool. So I'm going to keep my eyes on the Olympic Games in about 10 years, and I'm sure it'll be full of Call children. So very cool stuff. So first of all, Hobie, congratulations on your win. Irene, congratulations on your third place finish. What a year. Like, what a year you guys have had. I mean, I don't even know where to start. Like, it's just been, exceptional. So how do you feel now that you're home and all of it's behind you? How are you guys feeling?
Oh, shoot. I'm just ready for next year. We'll have some more fun. So no, it has been. It's been quite the year. It'll be one to remember for sure.
So you are, that was one of my first questions, was you are going to come back and race with us some in 2012?
Most likely. Awesome. Yeah, you never know for sure, but shoot, I might just come do them all again. You never know.
Ooh, I like that. We're building drama. We're building tension. So I want to talk about the year before we focus on Glen Rose. I met you last February in Temecula, and it was almost a year long journey in the making getting to Glen Rose. And that was the first time that the world met you. And you wrote this really amazing blog post kind of outlining your year. So can you kind of walk me through from when that began, that journey, to where you are now, just kind of some of what you said in the blog, but just really, really what this year has meant to you as an athlete, as a husband, as a father, all those things.
Oh, shoot. Where to start? You know, my whole life, I mean, way before this year, I'm not young, I'm 34, you know, so my whole life I've been working, just waiting for an opportunity like this one, I guess, you know, trying to become a great athlete. And, you know, I guess I just had to wait for a sport that was made for me to make it happen. So, shoot, I don't even know where to start.
I know, that's hard. It's hard. So Temecula was obviously, you know, a big, it was unknown. It was unknown to so many. I think that even though we'd been racing since 2010, 2011 was kind of a bigger year for us. So it was very unknown what you were getting yourself into. And there was this looming, you know, year ahead of you of all of these events. And a big challenge on your shoulders, and almost every race that you came across, you owned it. I mean, it was a really inspired year to watch, and we would see these scores come in, and your posts really outlined that progression. And, you know, Joe DeSena, one of the founders of Spartan, who issued this $100,000 challenge So for those of you that don't know, the original deal was you win all the races, including the death race, and you take home $100,000. And great for the press, and it was great, you know, that you came out, and as you kept winning, there's a little bit of nervousness going on. You know, Joe was a little like, I didn't know that this is going to happen, but you kept racing, and you know, Temecula was interesting with the Rubik's Cube and some of the craziness. What did you think, being a traditional athlete, you know, road racing and such, coming into something like that where you're suddenly being asked to throw a spear and carry buckets, and you know, what was that like, that first time when you think back at Temecula?
You know, I honestly had no idea what to expect. All I really knew was that there was barbed wire and mud. Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, I didn't have a clue. So, but what was so great about it is that for the first time, and I couldn't even tell you how many years, I felt like a kid again while I was out there racing. I was having the time of my life. It was so much fun. And you know, it was the first race I had done in who knows how long where I just remembered how much fun racing was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to road races, trail races, a lot of races you go to. I mean, it's all about the time. It's all about what your watch says at the end of the race, you know. Mm-hmm. And that it's only fun if you run a PR, you know. I mean, that's how most races tend to be. Mm-hmm. But I went out there, and it was just the race in and of itself was so much fun. I mean, who cares how fast you ran, you know, your time-wise. It's just, it was fun. It was so much fun. So,
and just to point out, you did run them quite fast, though. Just to be fair, you were quite quick when you did them. But yeah, like I think that when people come, it's hard to explain, I think, to people what the race is like, whether they're traditional endurance athletes or they're new to racing in general. It's really hard to explain, like, I remember my friend Jason telling me about what Temecula was going to be like, and with like the fire and the barbed wire, I was like, this sounds just horrible. I can't imagine why anyone would want to do this. Although it turned out to be the most fun that, you know, I'd ever had racing. But as your season progressed and as you started to move through these races, Irene, at what point did you kind of jump into the mix? When was your first Spartan race?
Vermont.
Utah.
Oh, no, Utah. I did Utah first.
Okay. And what did you think? Because you'd seen him, obviously, doing these events and you know, having so much success and all the training that was going into it. What did you think when you actually ran one?
I thought, holy cow, that 8 miles felt like a half marathon.
And you ran track in college, right? I mean, you have a running background, yeah.
I ran the 3,000 and the 5,000 meters in college. But I've had 5 kids since then.
that's notable, because as a mother too, yes, that definitely interrupts training time for sure.
So I did really well. I ran all through my pregnancy of my first one. Then I went out and ran a 3:30 marathon when he was like 6 months old. And then I just kind of lost momentum in running. And with each kid and each pregnancy, I ran less and less. So by the time my fifth came, I might have ran my first 2 months, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And so at the end of that pregnancy, I was so out of shape. So I started I thought, oh, 8 miles, that'll be good. But I didn't expect the first a half hour to be straight up the mountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love, yeah, the course design. We talked about this the other day, Mike Morris and Nick Moore, along with Russell Cohen, are the masterminds behind those courses, and they're just diabolical in how they put them together. And, you know, we'll talk more about Texas in a bit, but Texas was considered by a lot to be kind of a mini beast. Like, it was you know, it was the just the way that they put that course together. But so you ran in Utah, and actually the video of the Utah race is awesome, because you ran, and there's great footage. Hobie came back out and finished with you, and then your son Hawk actually won the kids race, which is really kind of cool. Yeah. It was a good day for the Call family in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Spartan radio people, I mean TV, they made it look like Hobie was helping me out, but really he knocked me down in the dirt. I mean in the water, and I couldn't get out. So then he helped me out, but all they showed was him helping me out.
So the truth comes out.
Go watch the Utah video again. When Irene's laying down in the mud pit, What they don't show is 2 seconds before that, as I jumped in and I tackled her in the mud pit. And then and she was laying there too tired to get up, so I lifted her up, and that's what they showed to make it look like I was being a nice guy. So I tackled her first.
Nice, which is probably appreciated in the muddy water. That's exactly what you needed. She's like, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks. So you did Utah, and then the Beast came next, and you did extraordinarily well at the Beast as well. Like, you did excellent, and that race was ridiculous.
It was way harder than Utah. Well, the course was harder than Utah, but the race was easier. That doesn't make any sense, I'm sure. But in Utah, it was hot, and I took off faster. Mm-hmm. So then at the Beast, I was like, all right, it's on a big mountain. I'm sure I'm going to have to go up that mountain 3 or 4 times. I'm going to take off slow. And so it made the Beast more fun.
Yeah, yeah. And you ran a lot with Margot, who's on with us a lot. Yeah, and she, I remember after the race saying how much she loved running with you because you were so positive, and I have to point out you were wearing the Spartan Chicks gear in Texas. I was so excited to see that. And Margaret had it on too, and I remember I came around where the rope was and you were going up the rope, and I was like, there's another, who else won? And I was way across the course. I was like way over by the traverse, and I was like, who has the Spartan Chicks shirt on? I was like, that's Irene, that's fantastic. So you did the Beast, and then Hobie had mentioned, you know, you really got serious about training. Like, you really decided you wanted to start training. And so did you train similar to how Hobie does? Like, how did that happen?
Well, at first it was $20,000 to the winner. And then Joe split that up to $10,000 to each. So
yeah,
I still want that $20,000. So I'm going to win the girls' race.
Well, I told him
motivation.
I told him when we were talking about it, you know, we talked about doing something in the year, and so when cash was brought up, you know, and he said $20,000, later in a conversation, we were like, well, you mean like top male and top female, right? And there was kind of this pause, like, because, not to impugn the women, and believe me, like, I'm the biggest proponent for our female racers. I mean, I started the Chicks campaign. I want to promote what they're doing, but this has been a year of, you know, the Hobie Call exceptional, you know, performance show. It's just been like amazing. So it was like an afterthought, like, oh my, of course we have to do that. So, it ended up being, you know, to transition to Texas, that race was a great race to watch. And with Josiah and Jenny Tobin there and, you know, yeah. Margaret and Jun Young, I mean, with lots of familiar faces, Alec, I mean, that kid is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, he has big things in his future, but talk to us about that course. What did you think of the course and just the events of the day? Cause it was not a warm day in Texas by any stretch.
Yeah. I think to have to run in one of the earlier heats would have been harder in Texas. I'm glad I got to wait till 3:30 because at about 2:00, the sun came out and it quit raining all the way until the end. And like right when we were on the podium, at the end to get our awards, it started raining again. So, like, that race was great to have it at the end of the day instead of the beginning.
Well, it was so funny because the clouds, when I was standing, so I swept the course out ahead of you guys and just to make sure it was marked okay and everyone was knowing you guys were coming. And it was really funny because the volunteers kept asking me, how are you going to know when it's the cash prize heat, people? And I was like, oh, you're going to know. Especially at the end, you know, like people are just dragging themselves up the obstacles and they're just like, they look like broken, beaten people. And I was like, here's the deal. I'm like, first of all, they'll be shirtless and they'll have shorter shorts on. And that will tell you the length of shorts is directly proportional to the level of competition. So you're going to know right away. And they just kind of laughed at that. And, but yeah, the course was beautiful. But yeah, it was in rough shape by the time you guys got to it, which is not the norm. Usually you're up on deck first. And so it was a little sloppy. What did you guys think of the course itself?
The course, I really liked the course. The swim that we had to do right before climbing up the rope.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect there to be trees in there. And I was swimming along at a pretty good clip and hit one right in my chest. It stopped me cold. I was like, where did that tree come from? Like, oh my gosh.
That was very reminiscent of the beast too, because I remember like swimming and just I continually ran into stuff, and I made it through most of that race with very few scratches and bruises. And I got out of that water and my knee was bleeding everywhere and I was covered in bruises from underwater trees. And we just kept, I was swimming next to Katie McCabe and we just kept laughing because we'd run into something and it'd be like, oh, and there's another rock or a tree or a body. I don't even know what I'm hitting anymore. But Texas was, yeah, it was very similar. We had a nice distance swim right before the 3 mile mark. And Hobie, I totally have to ask you this because, and it's in the video, but the spear throw, you missed the spear throw in Texas. What happened there?
Joe's been bugging me all year to make it a close race, try to get me to miss the spear throw, do stuff like that. So I thought I better make him happy, at least at the last race.
Well, there's been, like, people were watching the video, and they were seeing you and Josiah doing the squat thrust in between, and they're like, that's got to be sped up. And Todd and I both were like, no, no, like, they were really going that fast. Like, that's real speed. And it was hilarious, because it... At that point, too, Jun Yong did hit the spear. And it's great. It's in the video. They caught it all. Like, he comes up and then kind of weighs the spear a little bit, throws it, hits it. And, I mean, you can see the look on his face. Like, yes. And he takes off. And what a great race. Like, it was fun to watch, especially at the end. I mean, you guys were very close throughout big sections of it. So what was that? I mean, that was a new experience for you to have such close competition. What was that like?
Yeah, shoot, I actually had to work for it. No, it was great. I was pretty disappointed I missed the spear throw until the race was over. Then I was glad. It was nice to know I beat Josiah on even terms. So, but no, it was crazy when we missed that spear throw and then Jun Yong packed past us. I'm like, geez, I'm getting my butt kicked halfway through the race. This is not starting out too well. But then we hit that first barbed wire crawl, and I wish they would have got that on video, because I log rolled through most of it, and I was flying so fast, you would have been amazed. I managed to make it all the way out the other end without passing out. I was dizzy, but I made it through. I came out, and I was probably weaving a little bit for the first 50 yards while I got undizzy. But anyway, I made that through it so fast, and like I think I got a whole minute lead right there. And I thought the race was over, because that's how most of the races are. As soon as you hit the tough obstacles, usually I just take off and I've gone. So I thought it was that way. I was probably a full minute ahead of him, no problem. And then we get to the sandbag carry, you know, and I run, walk up the hill with it. And I don't really run down hills very fast with it because I like to save my legs. But I just kind of cruise down like I usually do, and he actually gained on me. And that's never happened before. So I actually didn't really notice at the time. But then we run all the hills, and I do the bucket carry with the rocks and get down. I see him behind me. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's close. I've only got a couple miles left. So that's when I really started to worry, because I was like, you know, he's gone through the toughest obstacles, and he's still right here. This guy's not dying.
Yeah.
So I was pushing everything out the rest of the race. It was go, 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 and it's just like, you fall off one log, slip off the balance beam or anything like that, and he's going to catch me. You know, that's how close it was. So it was pretty nerve-wracking. It was fun. It was exciting. It was a real race.
Well, we had our radios going, and I remember coming off the backside of the course for the drag, the sled drag or whatever. I kind of can't remember what we call it. My brain just left me. But there were still a lot of people, and I just said, you know, be advised, we're going to have people on the course when these guys come through, and which we weren't necessarily expecting. We didn't quite know how the end of the day was going to go, and so. We had people trailing you guys in the lead so that we could kind of keep track of and make sure people were out of the way and it was fair, because obviously that much cash on the line, we needed it to be executed perfectly. And so the chatter on the radio was hilarious. You know, it was like, who's in front? How far behind are they? And Mike Morris is on the gator, like following you. And I mean, it was really exciting. And when you guys came through that last portion to that Trevelyan Traverse, he was maybe 20 seconds behind you. And I mean, at that point you took over and it was a really memorable finish. It was fun to be at the finish line and see that. But it was quite a race. And I think, you know, we've been saying all year we're not a mud run, and we're not, you know, an adventure race. This is obstacle racing. It's an emerging sport. We have really talented athletes that come out and perform at these amazing levels. And then we have all these other people that just want to come, they just want to do it. And to your point earlier, it's not about time. It's about getting it done and having fun and, you know, playing in the mud and having a good time. And Texas was all of those things, which was very cool. So I'll make sure in the show notes I link those videos, and you guys have to check out the cash prize heat video. It's intense. Like I was there, and I was like watching it, and I was all nervous. It's like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? So
we're having a heart attack when they saw the Hobie missed the spear throw. Frosty's video I was watching, you could hear him in the background just so scared. Dad, run faster, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, when you were coming out of the water, I was standing there and I could hear, they're like, you can go faster than that, Dad, you can run faster than that. And it was the cutest thing ever. They were so excited and so anxious, and I mean, it was a riot. But I mean, the women too, like Irene, you had a tough competition, a tough field. And you know, Jenny was phenomenal. I mean, she's been racing for a very long time, and she's winning. We had her on last week, actually. She's, in her first Ironman, she won when I was like 22 or something like that. And I'm not going to say how old I am now. It's not necessary, but it's been a while. So she's not new to the game. And, obviously that field was a tough one, and you did an amazing job. So what are your impressions like, especially on the women's side? You know, we're, have the Spartan Schicht campaign, this movement, we're trying to get more women involved. You know, what would you tell women out there that are intimidated by this race or aren't sure about whether or not they want to be a part of it?
Oh, it's so much fun. You got to do it. I mean, you just don't think about the mud and getting dirty, because I know a lot of women are like, I don't want to go through all that. But it is so much fun. You don't even think about how dirty you're getting when you're getting dirty. And just Everything is a challenge. I love that you just come to every challenge is so different, and people are helpful too. None of the top five of us, and that was the only women I talked to, but none of us made it over the 8 foot wall, because they had a 6, 7, then 8 foot wall. And the 6 was no problem. The 7 was a little harder, but there was none of us could jump high enough to grab at the top of the 8 foot wall, and the slats that they put on there were so muddy by then that you could not use them. Mm-hmm. And so every single one of us, a guy ended, boosted us over that last wall.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's just so fun. It was great. The race is, I haven't done a tough mudder or anything else. I wanted, but I did do the dirty dash.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even compare. I mean, when I talk to people about the Spartan race that did the dirty dash, because I have friends that I want that did the dirty dash with me, and I tried to talk them to do the Spartan. And it's just, it's a whole different playing field. It's like going shopping for your patio furniture at REI versus Walmart.
Yeah.
It's just so much better. And it's so much more fun, a Spartan race is. And I can't imagine anyone doing a race and not being hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see that, you know, we get, and I think that, you know, the videos, the pictures, you know, New Vision Action Image does our photography, and they're so masterful at what they do, and the videos are so amazingly done, but there's nothing like actually doing it and understanding it, and that's, you know, our tagline is you'll know at the finish line, and I think that's so true. You've got to go through it to really understand the power of what that accomplishment feels like. And I try to explain to people, whether you're a person that's run for a very long time or you're completely new, it's still an amazing finish because, you know, and Hobie, you mentioned it earlier, it kind of becomes anticlimactic when you finish, because unless you hit a PR or you have this extraordinary race, it's you trained for it. So that was what you were expecting to accomplish on that day. And this is always like, you just don't know. I remember the beast, like just getting to the line and looking up the mountain and being like, oh my God, what am I doing? And so,
I think it's great too, after the race, you can sit around with your friends and talk about the race and all, you know, there's just so much more to, like when you run a marathon, there might have been a hill that was hard, or your legs started to cramp in the last 4 or 5 miles, and then you talk about your time, and then that's about it. But you can sit and talk for hours about a Spartan race.
Oh my God, yeah. We were trying to talk about the beast afterwards. We went to get some food, and it was me and Margaret and Maria and Katie McCabe, and we were trying to think back on all the obstacles, and I was like, it feels like that was a week ago. Like, we lived a lifetime today inside that crazy race. it's such a different thing. Yeah, you're not like, oh, mile 8 was a little sketchy, and then I hit the wall at, 24. You're like, I there's barbed wire somewhere.
I have a cut, and then you can compare bruises for the next week. I still have bruises from Glen Rose that aren't gone.
Oh yeah. We had, and that course, when we got out there on Thursday, we pulled up to the course. I was out, marking some things and just scouting it out in general. And, there was cows like right next to the barbed wire pit. And for folks that weren't there or haven't seen pictures, the barbed wire pit was focused over a cactus field. And so there were large clumps of cactus that were, and you see it and you just kind of laugh to yourself because you're like, oh, Mike, that's so mean. but the cows were like right there. And I Frank Alvarez, the venue, point of contact, I was talking with him later and I was like, they're not going to be out there for the race, are they? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, they're fine. It's like, we are in Texas. Like, clearly we are not, this is not what, yeah, I'm not used to. So I have a picture that I took with my camera phone of like 12 like bulls just right next to the barbed wire pit hanging out. And he's like, oh, once, people are running through here, they'll scatter and they wouldn't bother you anyway. And I was just like, wow, that's a new thing. We haven't seen that before. I loved that course. That the water was interesting. Again, Mike always does a good job, and a lot of carrying heavy stuff. I mean, we had think of the sandbag hill?
I didn't think the sandbag hill was as hard as the bucket carry.
That was a pretty nasty bucket carry. That was pretty, and I like that he stacks things in the order he does. Like the fact that he puts the rope climb right after the swim. That's just mean.
Oh, yeah. He knows how to make it hard.
And we don't just do the rope climb. He's got to dig a hole and fill it with cold, muddy water first. So let's get in the water after we just got out of the water to climb up the rope. Let's do that. So so your year is wound down, your home. What are your biggest takeaways for the year? What are you going to remember when you think back on your 2011 Spartan journey?
Mostly the people we met. Some of the races I went to, people hosted me. They'd come pick me up at the airport, keep me in their homes for the weekend, and bring me back to the airport. Just getting to meet people in places I'd never been before. And then races themselves, some of them just have some memorable moments. There's always obstacles here or there, people you raced against, that it's just so different than anything else you've ever done that it's just something that sticks in your head.
I'm going to remember sitting at home during the death race thinking, when are they going to post something about the death race? Hobie's been racing all night long. It's 10 o'clock in the morning and I have no clue about anything.
That was crazy. We had so much of our staff on site, and it was one of those things that we all like looked at each other, and I was volunteering and supporting a couple athletes, and we kind of looked at each other the next day, and I was like, I don't think we've said anything. I don't even think we posted the workout of the day yesterday. I don't think that even happened. And it was very, I can say, on a personal level, I met you in February. I've seen you at so many races. You're both so gracious and just good people. In Malibu, we're at packet pickup and, it's a zoo. Like, people are coming in and we're not set up and our stuff's everywhere. And Hobie just jumped in and like helped us get people squared away for like 30 minutes. We didn't have to ask. It was there. It was an offer. It was great. People say time and time again how great it is to meet you, and both of you have really helped to put our sport in the light that we've wanted it to be. And so with every amount of heartfelt thanks and appreciation. Congratulations to you both. And we're so glad that you're part of our Spartan family. We couldn't ask for better people. So thank you very much for spending the year with us and traveling the country and doing all of these awesome races and saying nice things about it. So you do have a video that you have put out, and I mentioned before I did one of your WADs. Very good. So can you tell us a little bit about what's in the video, where people can get it, and how to do all that stuff?
Oh yeah. HobieCall.com. That's where we have it for sale. I've got my endurance workout on there and my speed workout in there and my upper body workout and my warm up that I do for my runs. What else? My rock workout, my infamous rock workout. It's
pretty fun. I like that. Do you have the burpees? Do you have the burpee form demonstration in there?
Not really, but my son jumps in a couple times and does some burpees for you so you can see how they're supposed to be done.
Nice. He probably has better form than me.
Our 5-year-old.
The correct way without jumping jacks, right, Carrie?
Can I just point out, I'm not going to be petty right now, but rule number 7 for this upcoming 24-hour race that we won't name changed rule number 7 yesterday. So no longer is a penalty for that 24-hour endurance challenge a burpee. They have to sit out for 5 minutes. I'm just going to say that I think maybe they heard us and maybe they realized that they were totally stealing. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for anybody. I'm not speaking ill of anybody. I just noticed it. Thought I would bring it up.
You know, I started doing push-ups in my burpees just so I'd get my back straight, you know, because it's easy to get in that burpee form and get kind of sloppy with your feet and you know, kind of get into a crouch and not extend all the way. And so I just added push-ups to it because that forced me to get my back straight before I'd go down. So it, you know, there's a little art to that, and there's a little, you know, to stay up with it. And also, I was watching a little video, and I was seeing some pretty weak jumps too at the end. I mean, you gotta get a little altitude on that. We add a box jump to it here at Gallup, so that it forces you off the ground onto a box, which is a good way to keep you from cheating on jump.
Can I just point out, Jim, that that's easy to say when you're just doing burpees, but after miles and like 1,000 of them, I remember the beast. Like I stopped counting.
Has Jim done a Spartan race yet?
I have not. There hasn't been any here in the Midwest.
Have you seen my burpee instructional video?
I need to watch it, but I'm looking forward to it.
You do, because I think you'll relate to it, because in my video I show how people would show you how to do a burpee before a Spartan race and how they actually do burpees at the end of a Spartan race.
It's very different.
Even at the hurricane heat, you know, we do a lot of burpees, and in Chicago, we were out in the field and we had a second, cause we were waiting to do the next thing. And Joe's like, let's just do 100 burpees. And I'm like, sure. Cause we haven't just done 1,000. Right. So let's just do another 100. What's 100 at this point in time? Yeah. It's kind of become like it's interesting to me that there's the penalty component. I think that's one of the things that makes our race unique, is that we've got, you're incented to try to attempt these obstacles, and there's no bypassing. You got to try. And if you don't, you know, do the burpees and move on. Like it's not the worst thing in the world, but I think it does differentiate, how we do those. And it definitely, it increases your intensity around, like you want to do it. You don't want to do the burpees. Like the fear is a motivator.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. Things like the balance beam would be nothing if you fell off and it didn't mean anything and you just kept running. But when you got burpees, if you fall off, I mean, it becomes an obstacle.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And it's like, I remember being at the beast. I was doing the wall traverse, and in my head, I was like, and that's one of the easier ones for me. I climb a lot. And so but I was so tired. Like my muscles were so fatigued, and I literally in my head was saying, if you fall off, you're going to have to do burpees, and then you're going to cry, and nobody wants that. So just get across the wall and don't have to do burpees. And it was a huge motivator. Cause yeah, like at that point, if you're tired, it would be so much easier just to quit. And it just really keeps pushing you to like, no, just try to get through it, see if you can. So,
well, now, Hobie, I mentioned this pre-show, but just to be fair, so to simulate some of that, you know, that Spartan race, I do go out on a 4-mile sprint as fast as I can. And then I came in, I did 110 burpee push-up box jumps so that I'm ready for your 100 push-up, for your 100 burpee challenge. So it's, you know, jumping up on the box after running 4 miles and doing 100 burpee box jumps. So maybe it's not a complete Spartan race, but I might be getting close.
Not bad, not bad. So next Spartan race, do I get to run with you? We'll do burpees at every obstacle.
Really?
We should do the Hobie, like partner with Hobie for a Spartan race so that you can finish it type of thing. Because, well, even like at the night heat, so we're in Malibu and I'm sweeping the course with Tom McCormack, behind the last night heat, and Hobie's like, I'm going to do it. And so he jumps in and we walked around the first water obstacle, and there was like a bunch of people there, and one of the guys had a camera, and I was like, oh my God, they're going to get footage of us like at the back, like not running and going through the water, and it's going to be like Spartan staff and Hobie call, don't run. So I was like, oh God, I'm like, go run. just get away from me. And I mean, it was just like a person with a camcorder, but it was pretty funny. And then Hobie smoked us. He just took off and ran. Yeah. It was amazing. You know, I think the thing about this has been so great is it's been such an inspiration for non-athletes and athletes alike just to say like what Todd Sedlak, you're breathing quite heavily into the microphone. I just want to point that out. I knew you were on before I even saw your picture because I could hear you breathing.
You can always tell when Todd comes in.
but I think your story is so amazing. And I love that, like all the videos throughout the year. I hope you cherish those. I'm sure your kids will love to see them. And you'll have these great memories of a great year. And 2012 is going to be exceptional. And I can't wait to see what that turns into. So thank you both. And I'm very grateful that you guys came on, that I've gotten to know both of you over the course of the year, and look forward to 2012. We've got some big stuff coming, and it's going to be
good. I have a fun challenge I think that Joe should do.
Okay.
I think that you should, Hobie and I want other couples to do it too, at Miami this year, we're going to tie our wrists together, and we have to do the course together without coming apart.
That would be
it. Oh, I love that. Well,
very,
you know,
nice.
We
can have a special heat for it too, just couples or something.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And that would totally be awesome in Miami. I love that. I'm going to, because we were talking this year, like, what can we do just to add a different place to some interesting stuff? And so one of the things, like in Temecula on Sunday, we're doing our first ever relay. So for people that want to do the 8 miles but only want to do half of it, like they're not quite sure they're ready, they can do the relay with a partner. But yeah, a tandem run. I've actually done a tandem mud run, and only it was three people, and we were tied together with static rope, and it's one of the most fun things. But it's totally different because, especially on like single track, you're like trying to stay. We're in the flying duck formation, the flying V.
Yeah, it'll be weird.
That's, I love that. I'm going to talk to Joe. I think that's a good idea. We'll have to do that in Miami. So,
we're looking forward to it.
Say what?
We're looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, well I'll get Joe on the horn tomorrow, and we'll figure that out. That'll be fun. And Matt Murphy's the regional manager. He'd be into that too. So. And Todd, you just joined us. Where have you been? And you look stunning, sir. No one can see you in the chat, but you are quite dapper this evening.
You can't see me.
Oh, no, our videos.
Yeah, we had some video issues. Sorry about that. So maybe it's good you're not doing some kind of crazy challenge tonight.
Are you kidding? I mean, the challenge is going to be figuring out how not to destroy these clothes, since I completely forgot this meeting was going to be an overnight trip. So I packed nothing. So
Nice.
So this is it.
Well, seeing as we have like 10 minutes left, what can we make you do in 10 minutes in your suit that won't ruin it?
Slowly take it off, maybe. Yeah. There we go. Nobody can see this anyway.
Right? We can. Well, Jim. Oh, wow.
Scary.
So, Hobie, we have a question in the chat if you are going to Temecula.
I plan to run Temecula with a 40-pound vest on.
Oh, wow. That's going to make that into... That's awesome. Is it kind of nice to approach 2012 without the pressure of, like, all of the winning, like, where you can just go now? Like, because we'd love you to come do Hurricane Heat stuff with us and, you know, just to not have that added pressure of having to really race it. What does that feel like going into 2012?
I don't think Kobe can do a race without racing it.
That's why I'm wearing a 40-pound vest. Then I can still push really hard without winning.
Nice. That's a
no,
good
it'll be great because, yeah, you've been trying to get me to do a Hurricane Heat all year, you know, or at least since we started them in September. And you know, I've wanted to, but I'm like, well, I got to win the race, though. You know, that's what it's about this year. I gotta try to win them all. So, yeah, next year I can do things like run races tethered with Irene and run them with 40-pound vests on and do them where I do burpees at every obstacle and, you know, do two or three heats, do the Hurricane Heats. We're going to have so much fun. It's going to be crazy.
Awesome. That's really, we love to hear it.
That's crazy because every race that I've done, I've also been tethered to Irene. You don't know
the story. We've had tell a story. You, Irene, it's actually a log that is named after the hurricane that Todd got in Staten Island that has crossed many a state line to run with him since.
Yes, Irene has broken many, many laws. There's a log we just picked up. During the Hurricane Heat in Staten Island, we had some people in my group that were getting ahead of us. So grabbed the first log I saw and put it in their hands to slow them down, and Irene has run every race with me since. So she's I picked her up in Staten Island, drove her home to Vermont, from Vermont, drove her to Chicago to do that one, drove back to Vermont, and then flew her down to Texas. So if there's a wild outbreak of some tree-borne disease across the country, it's probably my fault.
But she's lost some weight. She's suffered a little bit.
Well, she doesn't hydrate very well, and she, you know, she gets all dehydrated and lightens up, and she's definitely left some pieces behind. I got a feeling that she's not going to make it through 2012, but we'll try.
Maybe you can add to your arsenal. Like, I have two sandbags because the first one I felt like I need to go up a weight class with the second one. So just have lots of. It's almost Christmas.
I think if we really want to Spartan up with Irene, I think that the smart move, of course, is to have her bronzed. And
oh,
then...
yes! you have to do that. I think that she should definitely, you're coming to, what's your first race in 2012, Todd?
What's the first race in 2012?
Are you coming to Temecula?
I'm going to do my best, yeah.
Okay, yeah, she's got it. She needs to come to Temecula, and she needs to be, like, tricked out, very bronze. Yeah.
tell Joe if he pays for it, I'll carry it.
So I do have to, I want to ask Kobe and Ari one more question. Your kids, you have five children, you've mentioned that, and they've come out, and they've seen some of the races, they've obviously seen the videos. Do they think you're, like, the coolest parents ever? Like, do they just think you guys are awesome?
At the race, they do. You see them at home, it might be a different story.
See, my kids think I am super lame regardless of where I'm at or what I'm doing. So I'm very jealous of that. My daughters have they're not impressed with anything. So I have to live with that.
I've been the dad of the year about 13 times this year.
Nice. Well, I do want to introduce, we have one more friend on tonight, my friend Keith Jolly. He's a friend of Spartan's. He is one of the, I think there's only 70 or so that completed the trifecta in 2011, and we've just recently instituted what we're referring to as the trifecta tribe, and each year is going to have a tribe in 2011. I believe it's about 70. There's a patch, so the folks that have done it have this great Basno patch. If you think that you should be on the list and you're not, it is under our Spartan Life link on our webpage, so go check it out. Email steveh@spartanrace.com if you think you should be on there. But we have some cool stuff coming for the folks that finished 2011, so more is coming on that. And we also have some great stuff for those that are doing in 2012. So I have to ask you first, Keith, what were your trifecta races that you did in 2011?
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for having me on again, Carrie. Let's see. My sprint was the Mid-Atlantic in Virginia. My super was the Staten Island, and that was a hurricane, obviously. And then, obviously, the Beast in Vermont.
Yes, and we had just the one Beast. And so the folks that competed in that and finished that, that's a pretty special medal. And so that's a pretty cool thing. So we're going to have more Beasts, obviously, in 2012. And so more people will have an opportunity to have one in their backyard, or at least in driving distance. So you have to come do that. But you recently did this pretty awesome ruck off. Now the things that you started doing are kind of, they're not for the faint of heart. So you started something that we're going to talk about a little bit, but you just did a ruck off that was quite extensive, and we had you out on the show to talk about that. And out of that was kind of born this challenge that you're doing. Are you doing the death race? You're doing the death race.
Yeah, I am.
That's what I thought. So you're doing the death race. Which is obviously our, and Hobie can tell you all about, about the death race. But that one, so that's in June, but you're doing these, steer challenges. Cause you are, forgive me, Marines. Yes.
Yeah. I was active duty Marines.
Okay. Okay. So from that background and experience, and just the way that some of these, you know, some of these challenges have arose, there's different training out there that's on the extreme side. And mm-hmm. So you've started this company where you're doing these extreme challenges, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So as we talked about a few weeks ago, was the USMC Ultra Ruck Off, which, or Ruck On. That still is. I still have bad dreams about that, but it's we have this huge bond, the folks that made through it and all that. But yeah, it's sort of. Was born a little bit prior to that, and certainly Sear came out of some of that. But what Sear really is, it doesn't start up too extreme, but we're focused on two things. We're focused on challenging both teams as well as individuals. You know, some things I think I see that are lacking out there is individual accountability in these challenges. And, you know, I think Spartan does a great job as far as an obstacle race doing that. But, that's what we're focused on. But, there's still elements of team there. It's mission-based. It starts with a very basic challenge and quickly moves you through advanced and elite. And then ultimately into this extreme challenge, which I'm not going to disclose too much details, but it's certainly not for everybody. But the basic is, it's not easy. It's going to be long. It's going to involve some miles. It's going to involve some mental challenges. And I'll take questions from the chat room and you, but I don't know what to tell you about it other than giving you the secret sauce.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I think, one of the things that that I think, for me, non-traditional endurance challenges, non-traditional endurance sports is the wave of the future. They said when triathlons came along, road racers were bored and the triathlon came in and it's really Ironman. Brands like that has solidified that place in endurance racing and obstacle racing. What we do, the death race, obviously on the extreme side, these are challenges people are seeking out. They're wanting to experience something different. And, the death race, 2005, Joe and Andy Weinberg saying, what happens if you show up to your bike and there's no seat? What then? We want to know who that 1% is that would get on the bike and ride it anyway. And that's such a great, we love that story. And, the death race obviously been around for a long time. And a lot of the folks that we come in contact with, hurricane heat, that kind of thing, are looking for those kind of extreme things to do. And so having
yeah,
that outlet.
I'm amazed with it, Carrie. I mean, we just got the site up, minutes before this show started tonight. And I've been getting hundreds of emails about that. I know one thing, people complain a lot when you're doing this stuff. But that's a good thing because we're gonna take care of them. But the website's up now. We just opened up registration for our Washington, D.C. challenge. That's going to be the inaugural class. It's a basic challenge. And like I said, there's multiple levels. The basic is the easiest one. It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun. You got to know how to have fun when you're doing it. If you don't have fun doing this kind of stuff, then you're probably not going to enjoy it. But it really changed. I'm going to change the game in about the first 5 minutes of that challenge, and we'll see how many people come back. But, you know, nothing crazy in the basic, but I'll tell you what, I get emotional thinking about it. The biggest thing though is I have a, you know, it's focused. I give a lot of kudos to GORUCK. They're a great organization that have really paved the path, and they're going to continue to advance the organization, and we're going to look to partner with them on some other things. But the difference between, you know, GORUCK and SEER and some of these other things that are out there is the individual accountability and self-reliance and pushing through that and getting to the fortitude and developing yourself, focusing on team, but developing yourself and seeing what you can do. I don't really like it when people hang in the back and hide behind the stanchion and don't push their own weight. And there's a way to weed those people out. I'm not trying to cut anybody. I'm not looking at an attrition rate. I just want to make sure that people earn what they're going to get. And that's what we're focused on. I have a great team of operators. One of them, I just closed on tonight, which I think may be listening, and you know her very well. So you can guess who that is.
Oh, my girl, Katie McCabe.
Yeah, so she'll be with us. I just can't wait for the first person that underestimates her.
No doubt.
That's going to be fun. I got some other, you know, my whole team is combined of joint special operators. So, you know, I have Navy SEALs, I have some SF guys, some Marines, and, you know, it's going to keep on growing from there. And I tell you what, I'm excited for January 27th in D.C. when this thing kicks off.
Well, I love that. You know, I will warn you, though, the death race this year is the year of betrayal. And so you're going to build this team vibe, and then betrayal is going to come, like, crush everyone.
Yeah, right. So I have a lot on the line. I'm not gonna call out Jason yet, but you know, I'm doing the death race, unlike somebody else. So I'm gonna throw it on the line.
Oh snap! Oh snap! Well, very cool. Well, we love having you on. It's great. You know, you've been a supporter of Spartan Race in all forms, and been a part of the Hurricane Heat. And I think I said this last time, one of my favorite pictures ever of me racing is one of you and I running down the beach. And I wasn't even racing, like, we were just running. And it's been eye-opening for me to be around, you know, these non-traditional sort of, you know, challenge-based. And that's a really cool thing. So we're glad to have you. I will be at the death race, crying a lot, I'm sure. It's going to be a great year. 2012. There's a lot of great things coming out, and we'll have to keep posted on how things are going, and let us know how that challenge you just issued, how that goes.
Yeah. Hey, he knows. I've already called him up. But so we start out in D.C. in January. We moved to San Diego. And some special guests out there, and we're going to take it back to the East Coast for a little while, and we're going to build up the challenges, get the name out there. But we're going to do it slow and steady. We're trying to push out quality. We're not trying to rush anything just to get numbers, and we'll go from there.
Cool. Well, Todd, I feel like I've cheated you tonight out of a lot of cardio. And I know you have a busy weekend, but I still would have liked to have had you do something tonight.
Yeah, you know what, Carrie? We lost Todd. We did. He went into oblivion, I think. The sensors, maybe the Skype sensors said, you know, no stripping on the show.
Maybe it was the lack of physical, maybe the Skype was like, we don't recognize you.
They're like,
you're not.
You're dead to me.
You are.
You're not working out, you're dead to me.
Oh my goodness. Well, he's got a busy weekend. We have some friends, a lot of friends actually, taking part in this 24-hour event this weekend, and so we wish him the best, and he probably needs some tapering anyway. He doesn't really train. I guess like his main training has come from the radio show and just coming out of the Spartan Race.
And the chocolate milk that he seems to drink.
And the chocolate milk, yes. Yeah, he was funny in Texas. He ran the course twice. Race day, because he did his heat, and he also did a secondary heat with his wife, who came and did it. And you know, I love that couples element. I love that Hobie and Irene brought that up tonight too, because we've had some really memorable stories this year on that front. We had this amazing proposal at the finish line in Virginia. That was one of our most liked pictures of all time. It was very cool. We've had couples come and celebrate anniversaries. We had a couple in the Carolinas that eloped, and our race was their honeymoon, and that's how their family found out that they were married, which I don't know if I'm going to support that decision or not, but it's the decision they made. It was very cool. They were very sweet about it, and they had a great story. And so a lot of couples, we also have a lot of couples that actually meet at Spartan Races. I mean, it's a great place to meet like-minded people that like taking care of themselves. So I don't know, is that like a little plug for the Spartan dating game maybe, but I definitely love the idea of the tethered running. And I think we did a video actually at one point of Spartan couples counseling, which was like a couple trying to get over the wall. And that was pretty fun. That was a pretty fun one. Cause those walls. I love that you told that story, Irene, about the 8-foot wall, because I don't think I've ever run, and I do most of the courses, either racing or just sweeping them in some capacity. And, I don't think that I, ever did an 8-foot wall by myself. I don't think that ever happened. I would like have someone help me or demand someone help me or politely.
I made it in Utah.
Well, it's like the ones that have the things sticking out. I remember in Temecula, though, that the guy said, you can't use the side, like you can't go up the side. And I was like, I have never even looked at an 8-foot wall, let alone thought about having to climb over one. So I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do right now. And then someone came up behind me and helped throw me over, basically. But yeah, so I think that's awesome. But We're right about 10:05. I think we got started about an hour ago. So just kind of wrap up. It's been a great year. We still have a couple shows left. I think one show left before the end of the year. But we have some pretty big announcements coming out over the next couple days that people will be excited about. One of them that's already kind of out there is our military series, which is going to debut in Colorado, May 5th and 6th of 2012. It's going to be at Fort Carson, which is in Colorado Springs. And it's a totally cool new approach to our, it's still going to be Spartan obstacle racing, but we're going to have some obstacles designed by Special Forces, which is going to be really cool. It's a different medal, a little bit different logo. So that's going to be a very, very cool race. It's the first time that we're going to Colorado, and we're going to continue to have the military series expand out into other bases, but that's going to be the first one. It's still going to have a kids race, all that stuff's out there. So check out our registration page because it's out there. 2012 is fast approaching. Temecula's first out of the gate, January 28th. Hurricane heat scheduled for that morning. So get out there, get registered for that. I'll be there. That's always fun. Todd's going to make fun of me, but I promise I'll bring my bullhorn this time because I didn't bring it to Texas.
So. You also need to get you a mini one so you can fit it in your carry-on.
I know. I feel like I let everyone down, but I got to use Todd's for a while when we were in Texas, so at least there was some bullhorn action. But I really don't need it. Like I really, my voice carries quite extensively. You know this.
It does indeed.
It's the by the way, Jim, I signed up for the Lincoln Fold today.
Nice. So, nice. You gonna run part of it with me?
I will run as much of it as you like. I have right. A couple people that I'm guilting into doing it.
Good.
So yeah, I think we'll have a whole group of people.
We a much larger group this year than we had last. So I've already got a couple of people to commit that only ran the half last year. So we'll have a good group.
Excellent.
Running the full. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. So you want me to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks to our guests tonight. Love having you guys on. Hobie, Irene, we'll definitely want to talk to you guys again in 2012. We're excited for all the fun stuff that you guys have planned, and I'm so digging this tethered idea.
Yeah.
I'm loving that. I'm totally loving that.
I'd get shot in the first 10 meters. My wife would just gun me down. I'm just saying.
And like drag your lifeless body through the rest of the course.
Saw my hand off. That would be the end of it.
There's like bodies flying the course.
Yeah.
Who are all these people?
Yeah, it will be great. Well, I appreciate you guys coming out. And Todd, sorry for the communication problems with Skype.
Oh, no sweat. Before I sign off, I just wanted to say, Carrie, remember I said you had to have a punishment for forgetting to bring your bullhorn to Texas, right?
Yes.
Well, since no one else can see the video and this will only punish you, I just wanted to, you know.
Uh-oh.
I can't see. Hold on.
Oh, I flashed you with my trench coat. You missed it.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry,
I did the total it. Stalker creep flash trench
right.
coat.
And I didn't get that recorded. Well, Todd, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
You bet. And Keith, great having you on tonight as well.
Yeah, thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Jim.
I'll remind folks, if they're listening live, they can join us each Tuesday night here, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or subscribe over at radracing.org. We've got all kinds of fancy links that'll get this automatically put on your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, or your Android tablet or phone. And if you have questions about the show, any comments you'd like to see us do anything different, or just crazy ideas for Todd, send us an email, podcast@radracing.org. We'll be back next Tuesday evening. Until then, this is Spartan Radio. Good night.
For those of you still listening in the live feed, I just posted the video that came out today on YouTube that features Hobie, some really great footage, also some Joe Decker. I'm actually in a couple shots too, but you can't really see me, so we can tell it. Todd's in it. There's some great footage of Todd in it. Oh, have you not seen this?
What video is this?
All right, I'm putting it in our chat. You got to check this out. It's amazing. Like go. It's like 4 minutes. It's like a 4 minute video, but I cried. Like, I literally cried like a baby at the end of it. And, I was pretty, emotional. And I'm not like, Jim, I'm not a girl that cries. Like, that's not me. So it was pretty, that's a big deal. I was like, what is this wet stuff coming out of my eyes? What's that? What's going on right now? So yeah, we're going to put that in the show notes. Also, our world championship video came out. That one's awesome. Very good play by play of what went down in Texas. And so, definitely check that stuff out, but. I'm exhausted now.
Drink milk, kids.
After doing drink milk and eat lots of hard-boiled eggs, says Sergeant Sedlak. if you had a video, it's like Hobie's video is all like real tips and like awesome nutrition and training, and Todd's is like eat 50 eggs and drink milk and lift exercise bikes over your head when you're at hotels. so good.
Hey, Terry, you know, Todd's coming down into D.C. on the 27th, the basic challenge.
Is he really?
Yeah, right.
I'm signed up.
Nice.
I already got my plane tickets and everything.
I promise you, if you can get close enough to where I'm at, or if I'm around the vicinity, I will support you, brother. I'm with you, and I definitely like that's a whole new world to me. Like I was,
I'll bring it to Nebraska.
Do it. I would totally get. I would get people to. I have a running team here in town, Mud Mafia. We would come represent, and I'm sure some of our Spartan friends would want to fly in just to witness me, like get my ass handed to me in another forum. So. Like
we'll have one in Nebraska, but don't tell Carrie. And the first mission of the team will be a snatch and grab. We'll just go there, grab her up.
Like
Todd knows what I'm thinking, actually.
Like the scene from, what's that, Old School? They'd like fly up in the van and like grab the guys off the street. Yeah.
Just like that.
Love
that won't happen to basic Todd, no worries.
Well, I'm nervous. Be like watching my back every time I leave the grocery store to get jumped somewhere. No, I would love that. That'd be super cool. We have, and that's the, you know, Jim has wanted to do Spartan Race for a really long time. And, actually one of my best friends signed up for Arizona. She was like, screw it. Like they're not coming close enough for so long. I'm going to go to a destination and have some fun. So she decided to go to the one in Arizona, but we'll get Jim out to one. Jim, you're going to, I'm trying to think, actually Colorado would be pretty cool. You'd probably dig that.
Sorry, Carrie, hold on. I had to drop off for a sec. I'll be right back. Hold that question.
Oh, you're fine. we're in Colorado. We're doing the military series and we're starting.
What is it?
So basically it's going to be a little bit longer than a sprint distance. I think it's 5 miles, and we're doing our traditional Spartan obstacles and we're doing the course, but we also are having some of the guys on base design special forces obstacles to include as well. And then it's on Cinco de Mayo, so we're going to like a big Cinco de Mayo party on the 5th. And then we're also going to have the racers vote on the most badass obstacles of the day. So it'll just be kind of a it'll be familiar. I mean, it'll still be Spartan Race. It'll still feel very much like Spartan, we're just going to include some of their stuff too. So even for the most seasoned of us, like the Hobies of the world that have seen every one of our obstacles over and over again, it'll be like, whoa, where'd that come from? So we're excited about that.
Very cool. Military obstacles. Oh no.
Well, it was really, you know, it totally made sense. You know, the more we do so much in that space anyway. I mean, a lot of our runners, we have a huge military base. We've got, you know, public service. It's very much in line with training, obviously. You know, it just appeals to those guys. And so it's kind of a cool partnership. We're excited about it. And that's the first of the series, but there'll be many. And if you go to the website, actually, the logo of how we have that logoed out is different. It's very cool. So definitely check that out. We have some good stuff though coming out in the next few days. Like, stay tuned to Facebook. And I think on Thursday morning we're gonna have a big announcement. So there's always fun things happening at HQ. I literally thought when I got back from Texas, like, this is awesome. I'm gonna have like almost all of December and a big part of January where I don't have to like worry about an upcoming race and all that. It's 10 times worse because we have all this planning. I mean, I'm so much busier than I was before because there's so much to get done. And so busy is a blessing. So I can live with that.
I thought you were on vacation. This is the off season.
No, there's no such thing. And actually, it's fun though, because you know the shift at HQ, the whole tone is like, okay, we have 2011 down. Now what are we going to do in 2012? And it's a different energy. It's a lot of fun. And so I'm excited. Like, we have that summit, and I'm sure you're going to be there, Todd. I'm sure you're going to come. But we're going to spend 3 days just in heavy planning mode. I mean, we're going to have fun too, because I'm sure we'll go on like some crazy runs in the mountains at midnight with Joe, because that's what we do. But we're going to take pictures and kind of give people a feeling for what, you know, what our company is like. We're not that big in terms of staff. We're actually a very small shop. Like, it would really surprise people how few actually work at HQ. So you'll kind of get to know us a little bit. And you guys already know enough about me to know you don't want to know anymore. But there's some very cool people that work that have some fun stuff. And we have a really good time. Like, even at races, when we're very stressed and focused on execution and making sure everything runs smoothly, we just have really great, genuine people. Most of our HQ is married, kids, families, athletes, current and former. And it's a cool energy. We have a ton of fun. We work very, very hard. And we're excited to take 2012 to a new, whole new place.
Awesome. I'm still trying to figure out, because you guys, the Ottawa Beast and the Utah Beast, were originally on different days, but now they're on the same day. So I'm working on the logistics to figure out if I can get a flight fast enough so I can run two beasts in two countries in one day.
That would be fantastic.
It would be, but I was going to do two in 2 days. That was going to be no sweat, but now it's going to be a matter of flights. I'm going to have to do Ottawa first, so that way I can gain time in the time zones as I travel west.
Yes. Oh, yes. You're a smart man.
So
I don't know. I was actually going to go to Ottawa. I'm going to one of the Canadian races because I feel like No, I have no real reason. I just want to go run in Canada. I was going to try to have like this really great like reason, but now I just really want to go to Canada and run. We have a great... You know, the cool thing about this, and I love this about our community, like, everyone's so cool. Like, after Texas, I hung out with, you know, several of like the top finishers on the guy side. It was like Jun Yong and Elliot and Habib and actually your brother was there, Hobie Forrest was there. And just super, like, they're all really good friends. Like, race day, you know, everybody competes and you go out there to do your best, but everyone's just so nice. And just, it's a great community of athletes and people. And so it's fun to be a part of that.
So Carrie, I'm back. Did you have a question for me? Sorry.
I did. I think that you should come to Colorado and do the military series.
When is it?
It is Cinco de Mayo. It is May 5th.
Oh, May 5th. But that's the Lincoln. That's Lincoln Marathon Day.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
We talked about that already. That was a bummer.
We could do the race on Saturday, and we could take a plane home and do the marathon on Sunday. It's only 5 miles. It's not going to be like, I mean, granted, it's Spartan miles, So that's like three that's times.
Like, so it's like 25 miles, basically. I mean, if it's roughly. Five, yeah, it's 20.
If you're going to do the math, then yes.
I've watched the videos. Trust me. Yes. There's no denying it that I will absolutely not finish Lincoln. If I come
on. I will be dead on the side of the road.
Parting up, Jim. Come on.
Oh my goodness.
That would be pretty amazing. So let's try it.
I think we should. We'll look into the logistics of that.
Yeah, let's see if we can. I'll just have to train more.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm old and I'm fat.
No, just the training thing. I don't get it at all. It confuses me.
Yeah, that's true, Todd. You pretty much get away with no training on anything.
I train every Tuesday night for like 40 minutes.
Yeah,
I wish it was that easy.
This show, like, I feel responsible for Todd's level of fitness.
It's probably gone up in the last 8 or 9 weeks because he actually gets a workout in.
Didn't you say that you've lost some weight? Like, you've actually.
I did. Well, once I became aware that I had gained 15 pounds, the simple awareness of it seemed to burn 10 of it back off. It's in the panic.
What about the eggs? Did that, after egg week, did you?
I should have weighed myself every day after that because those eggs stayed tight for a while.
Oh, no.
I carried them with me everywhere I went.
That's horrifying. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't think that's part of the Hobie Call nutrition program. I don't think he would endorse that.
No, he definitely would not endorse.
Not going to find that on the video.
18 eggs? Todd, was that the final
20.
Count?
20. It was 20. Ugh. And then when Mark and Joel attempted to best it, they admittedly with the shells on, Joel quit at 10 and Mark stopped at 12.
Yeah, they ate the shells. It was horrifying.
They did. I even tried. I ate one with the shell on too, just to see how awful it was. So it was the same as eating the eggs like I did, only with a shovel full of sand with each one would have been a good simulation.
It was horrible. And it was awful. Why these guys? I don't even know. Like, well, I don't know why they do this to themselves, but.
They had nothing to wash it down with but, like, Miller Lite in a can. So I did do them the service of giving them proper beer in a bottle to drink, but it didn't help.
I have a friend that says that he's a grown man, so he will drink beer out of bottles if he's going to drink beer, which I think is kind of funny. I've never been really a beer person myself, but. Tonight, for art, we didn't have a drinking game, but I've been drinking tomato juice. Like, it's my job all day. That, like, people say to drink orange juice when you're sick. Like, I had strep earlier this week. I find that V8 is my wonder drug. V8. On top.
Hobie, does V8 make the Hobie, the list of things that Hobie drinks? Is he there?
No, I'm afraid not.
All right.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just have better stuff.
All right.
Like, I need to get on board with that because my strategy is I take the Augmentin that they wrote me a prescription for and I drink massive amounts of V8. So
Hobie lives off of wheatgrass.
You know, I have a friend that he says the same thing and he's like, it's like drinking 10 salads a day. And he's like, it's like the best thing for you ever. So Do you just go to like a vitamin? Like how do you get yours? Like is it just like a powder? How does that work?
Well, you need to watch my video and you'll know.
Oh,
not even any secret info for the Spartan Radio. Uh-huh.
No free lunch for Carrie.
No, I found a way to make wheatgrass taste good. You'll enjoy it actually.
You feed it to someone else.
My kids like it too.
Exactly. You like it. That's how it is.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Oh. Well, I am about half asleep sitting here, so I'm going to take off. But great show, you guys. Maria had to deal with an exterminator tonight, so she was gone. But and Todd obviously was late, so you got to hear a lot of me talking. But love having you guys on. I absolutely, that video, like I said, I love it. I posted it to your wall tonight, Hobie. So hopefully you guys can check that out. And
good stuff. And Carrie, I made it through the interview while running the show. So I did an interview.
Nice.
I did an interview in India tonight while I did the show.
You're such a badass.
Holy, that's insane.
That is insane.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
check you out. Nice work.
And almost got the YouTube video working. I'll have to figure out how to get that done. So
we do. We need to be able to embed videos to.
Yeah.
So are you still trying to figure out how to take a streaming or a video and push it like in place of your webcam?
Right.
Kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah. So it just plays.
I know there's an app that does that.
Yeah.
Or some sort of a program that just you can do that.
Well, and I'm sure with live stream, I'm sure there's a way to do it. I need to read up on it and make sure everything's configured correctly. So. Just a matter of spending a little bit of time.
Nice.
Like everything.
All right, guys. Well,
thanks
so much,
everybody. And Carrie, we'll need to chat sometime. Well, you'll have show notes for me tomorrow at some point, right?
I shall. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to produce this on the plane tomorrow on the way to St. Louis.
You are such the multitasking rock star.
The only time I'm going to get it done. So
like you're the producer extraordinaire tonight. Like I'm quite impressed.
Just nuts. I have to find out a way to get a workout in tomorrow while I'm in St. Louis. So we'll just have to figure that one out. So
ask Todd. Pick up your luggage. Walk up and down the stairs for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I won't have any luggage with me, but I'll just pick up a rock.
Why don't you just pick up another passenger?
Buddy carries up and down the stairs at the airport.
Grab yourself a TSA agent and go to town.
Hey, I carry you across the airport. Would you mind?
Yeah.
Hold on to your bag.
Ma'am, can I help you with your bags? And yourself?
You?
No, you just hold on to the bag. I got it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take care of all of it.